traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Rudy Giuliani, my colleague here at WABC. Such an honor to know you, and you're a friend and a work colleague. How are you, Mr. Mayor?
I'm really good, Greg, and you're terrific.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, I always knew, I had a feeling we'd be friends back when I was in high school watching you as a U.S. attorney. I'm like, that guy is awesome.
And I did with Yogi Berra.
So, Mr. Mayor, well, a couple of things. I can't believe it's not even the first question I want to ask you. You get indicted in Arizona and Michigan, and I don't even
Michigan
care.
Too. Michigan, too.
I think it was Michigan, right?
Good.
Was it Michigan? I'm telling you. This is,
am I going to miss a Democratic state?
This is, it's just an amazing life that you have. These things can come at you, and it's almost like these would ruin most people. Just bring them to tears. Drop them, and you, it's just like, eh, you know, here you are, right?
I expected it. I mean, I expect, in fact, I'm going to wonder about the ones that don't. I mean, the Democratic states that don't indict me. They are playing out exactly, if you have any common sense, what happens in a Soviet country, an authoritarian country. You beat the opposition down. You try to imprison the candidate and destroy all of his supporters. And that's how you win an election. That's what Maduro is doing. When Maduro promised Biden a free and fair election, the first thing he did was imprison his opponent. Mm. And Biden didn't shake an eye, you know, didn't bite an eyelash. Now he's going after all of the guys. This is, somebody read this book somewhere and they're playing it out. It's called Communism, Nazism, Fascism. I mean, it's totally ridiculous that I went to Arizona, I think once. I spent the entire day with the legislature. I explained to them what I had. I didn't think they were going to go forward with it, actually. And then all of a sudden, they got big demonstrations by Republican grassroots people, basically saying, we're going to throw you the hell out of office unless you do something about this. Mm. And they initiated on their own. And then they came back to me for help. I knew we had impressed Pennsylvania. I knew we had impressed Michigan. I knew we had impressed Georgia the most, particularly with Burt Jones, now the lieutenant governor, and a couple of the others. They were really hot. But Arizona, we had a couple of really hot people, but for some reason, the establishment considered them the way out people. Mm. Like Carrie Lake. She was considered one of the way out people.
No, I don't understand why they say that about her. She's amazing. Hey,
she wasn't, by the way. That's their problem.
No, right. What about, you know, who's the most self-righteous guy in the world? And I'm sorry, folks, you probably won't remember him, but I remember him. Rusty Bowers. He was the speaker of the assembly there. Yeah, in Arizona. And he's a fake news favorite because, well, you know.
That'll be part of the testimony against me if he makes it to the trial. And we have a trial. He will testify that I said, I have no evidence, just theories. Now, this is like 2 months into it. I had already been to 3 other places presenting evidence. Why in God's name would I tell him I have no evidence when I have carrying 3 suitcases filled with evidence? And even if I had no evidence, what lawyer would go tell you you have no evidence? Well, he made it up. He just made it up out of his either demented mind or his Trump hatred.
What about this? I mean, when you sue
just
somebody.
Just a liar.
Can I ask you this? When you sue somebody, it's like somebody did me wrong and I'm going to sue you. And then you got to get a lawyer and you got to gather evidence. Right.
Correct.
You know that you were wronged and you know that there's probably evidence out there. I'm actually saying not having evidence at the get-go doesn't mean.
No,
like,
that's true. No. You have to have leads. And I'll say the truth. In an election case, the standard is even less because they happen so quickly and you have such a short period of time. So the courts allow you to use, right out of the cases, more speculation, more expert witnesses, more extrapolation. So, for example, you hear, oh, he said there were 6,000 dead people that voted. Mm. Well, there was a report that said that.
Hey, can I
ask? It may turn out to be 3,000.
I want to come back to the case here in Manhattan. And you're the perfect guy to ask. Judge Mershon happens to have gone to Hofstra Law School. You went to NYU, which is one of the top law schools in the country. Hofstra's fine, but it's not in the top 10. I don't think it's in the top 25. It's not considered a top tier law school. Sorry, but it's true. Donald Trump's lawyers, I just want to ask you this. How much of a factor is that for a judge? And, you know, there are a lot of Ivy Leaguers in the room, including Donald Trump. I feel like
there's a lot of animosity and silly. And let's go beyond them. Let's go with the legal profession in general.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous amount of snobbiness and animosity about, did you go to Harvard? If you didn't go to Harvard, did you at least go to, let's say, we'll pick another one, like University of Michigan, which is a very, very good law school. Tom Dewey went there. Or did you go to, I won't pick one, but you know, one of the bottom tier one. Hofstra would not be the bottom tier. Hofstra would be a little plus middle. Fordham better. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd rather, harder to get into Fordham than, let's say, Hofstra.
How about Indianapolis Upstairs College of Law, where Mike Pence went?
I don't think so.
To Indianapolis Upstairs College
unfair.
Of Law.
Only thing I can tell you is, if I haven't heard about it, it's probably not one of the top ones. Because I used to be in charge of hiring U.S. attorneys and assistant U.S. attorneys. So at one time, I was very familiar with these law schools. They've switched a bit, but not much.
Those SOBs, by the way, and you hired some great people, and they're still telling stories about, whoa, the days I was with U.S.
attorney.
They
won't step up and help me.
They won't step up and help me. And that's what drives me crazy. And there's that one guy, that Italian guy, handsome guy. I think I resent him more than the others. I'm going to find out his name. But
John Savarese?
Yes, him. Who's Savarese?
John was the number three guy on the commission case, along with Andy McCarthy.
Well, now he's a woke liberal, and he won't lift a finger.
Well, he might have always been. I was never as close to him as I was to Mike Chertoff. Mike was the number two guy on the case, and he's the one he was my partner on the case. We put it together. And then John came in to help us. And Mike was the first assistant U.S. attorney I hired.
Mike,
I'll tell you, like Randy Mastro, who's going to become the corporation counsel. I hired him as an assistant U.S. attorney. I gave him the Teamsters case, which was one of the biggest. I hired him as a chief of staff. Hired him as a deputy mayor, and for the longest time played golf with him every Saturday. And I can't remember the last time he called me.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised that he took this job. Apparently, he's bored, and he wants back in the action. Hey, the trial downtown continues. Pecker is still on the stand. All these little, you know, embarrassing details, if they're true, if they're not. I think that this is the prosecution is enjoying this. They also have nothing else to do. So let's dirty him up as much as possible right now.
This is like going to the hairdressers and gossiping.
Going to the hairdressers and gossiping.
Or for the men, the barbershop, I guess, where they had the dirty books out and everybody would gossip.
Did you ever think we'd come to this trial thing? Well, forget that for a moment. How do you think this stuff is going at the Supreme Court with the immunity?
I think it's going to be a split decision. Happy to take a split decision because it puts the case off. I think they're going to give him partial immunity. They're going to not give him complete immunity. I was very disappointed in the lawyers when the lawyers asked for complete immunity. But then I started thinking I might have done the same thing. Sometimes you ask for too much so you can lose. There are so many cases the New York Times thinks I lost that I won. Like the 1,000 Men March, they wanted 24 blocks of Harlem. I said, you can't have any. They got four. Times writes, Giuliani loses. Giuliani has a celebration.
But you really won. Oh, you're good. Hey, listen, I have to turn everything over to you. But before we go, Sandra, I believe, wants to say hello to both of us. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Clay. I just wanted to say that last night my sister and I were texting each other, and we wished that you were one of Trump's attorneys, and Rudy, too. We love you both, and I mean, you're doing such a great job, even though you're not there.
They took me out on purpose.
They took him out on purpose.
I win the first impeachment, you know, and beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, they wanted to neutralize this guy. Thank you, Sandra. I actually very proud. I did a video last night and went through this transcript. the case is so beatable, winnable, crummy, terrible, what they've done, and they reveal themselves. So, Mr. Giuliani, once again, a huge honor.
Of course.
Hey, be careful when you show up at these protests. You.
Oh, yeah. But the next time I'm going to tell you about a little trip to the brother Ted. You see the great footage Ted got with the girl? She was from Fordham, that kid.
Next time, though,
I don't know what it's about.
I want you in a disguise.
I was.
A disguise.
I was, but they figured me out.